Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. The high seas, a vast and largely unregulated frontier, have finally got their first legally binding international framework to protect biodiversity, marking a significant milestone in the history of ocean governance. The Biodiversity Beyond National Jurisdiction, or BBNJ, agreement, also known as the High Seas Treaty, entered into legal force in January 2026, 120 days after its 60th ratification was deposited in September 2025. This treaty is the first of its kind to protect biodiversity in the high seas, covering nearly half the planet's surface. The high seas, international waters beyond any nation's 200 nautical mile exclusive economic zone, cover approximately 64% of the ocean surface and about 43% of Earth's total surface area. They contain extraordinary biodiversity, including hydrothermal vent communities, seamount ecosystems, abyssal plains, and deep-sea genetic resources of immense potential value for medicine, biotechnology, and climate science. Yet, until January 2026, no comprehensive international treaty protected this vast space. The UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, or UNCLOS, adopted in 1982, established the basic legal architecture for ocean governance, including territorial seas, EEZs, continental shelves, and the regime for deep-seabed minerals. However, UNCLOS contained no specific provisions for the conservation of marine biodiversity in international waters. For decades, the high seas were governed by a patchwork of sector-specific instruments, including the International Maritime Organization, or IMO, for shipping, regional fisheries management organizations, or RFMOs, for fish stocks, and the International Seabed Authority, or ISA, for deep-sea mining. The result was overlapping jurisdictions, regulatory gaps, and no mechanism to establish comprehensive marine protected areas, or MPAs, or require environmental impact assessments, or EIAs, across the full breadth of international waters. The journey to negotiate the BBNJ agreement was long and arduous, spanning 15 years. The UN General Assembly first recognized the governance gap in 2002, during the World Summit on Sustainable Development. Formal negotiations under the UNCLOS framework began in 2008 through the BBNJ Working Group. The process was slow, with nations divided between those that wanted strong binding provisions and those that resisted new obligations. Progress accelerated after the coming Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework, or CBD COP15, in December 2022, which enshrined the 30 by 30 target, protecting 30% of land and ocean areas by 2030, as a global political commitment. The final BBNJ text was adopted at a resumed UN conference on March 4-5, 2023, after nearly two additional years of intensive negotiations. The BBNJ agreement's substance is structured around four thematic clusters, negotiated as a package because major power groups insisted on progress across all four simultaneously. First, marine protected areas, or MPAs, on the high seas. The treaty creates a legal process for establishing MPAs beyond national jurisdiction, a first in international law. States' parties can propose protected areas for adoption by the Conference of the Parties, or COP, established under the treaty. MPA measures must be based on best available science and the precautionary approach. Activities in designated MPAs may be restricted to prevent damage to ecosystems, with a target of contributing to the 30 by 30 goal for ocean protection. This matters because current MPAs cover only about 8% of the ocean, with very few in high seas areas. The new treaty provides the legal machinery to change this. Second, environmental impact assessments, or EIAs. The treaty requires mandatory EIAs for activities that may have more than a minor or transitory effect on the marine environment in areas beyond national jurisdiction. This applies to deep-sea mining, offshore energy infrastructure, commercial fishing at new sites, and cable or pipeline laying. Cumulative impact assessment is required, not just project-specific, and EIA results must be publicly available with a transparency obligation. Review by treaty bodies for significant proposed activities is also mandated. This matters because currently, there is no binding requirement to conduct EIAs for most activities on the high seas. The ISA requires EIAs for deep-sea mining, but coverage is otherwise patchy. Third, Marine Genetic Resources, or MGRs, access and benefit sharing. This was the most contentious element, mirroring the debate around the Nagoya Protocol for terrestrial genetic resources. The BBNJ provisions subject MGRs collected from international waters to a benefit-sharing regime. Companies, research institutions, and states must share monetary and non-monetary benefits from commercial exploitation of high seas MGRs with a multilateral fund accessible to developing nations. Developing countries had argued for years that high seas genetic resources, including potentially valuable deep-sea extremophiles, were being collected by wealthy nation research vessels without any obligation to share benefits. The debate was intense, with developed nations resisting strong benefit-sharing obligations and developing nations pushing for them. The final compromise links benefit-sharing to commercial application rather than collection, triggering payment only when commercial products reach the market. Fourth, capacity building and technology transfer. The treaty creates mandatory provisions for developed nations to provide training and technical assistance to developing country scientists, technology transfer for ocean monitoring and research, and financial support for developing country participation in treaty bodies. This pillar was essential to secure developing country ratification, without which small island developing states and coastal African nations would not have signed. India played an active role in BBNJ negotiations with multidimensional interests. As a developing country, India supports strong benefit-sharing provisions for MGRs and capacity building. India's deep-sea research capacity is growing but lags behind major maritime powers. Access to shared funds and technology would accelerate India's scientific capacity. As a fishing nation, India is one of the world's largest fishing nations, with around 8 million tons of annual catch. RFMOs and high seas fisheries governance directly affect Indian distant water fishing fleets. India's position has been cautious about restrictions that could limit fishing effort. As a blue economy aspirant, India's Deep Ocean Mission, launched in 2021 with a budget of 4,077 crore rupees, targets deep-sea polymetallic nodules and hydrothermal vent resources. The ESA's India's pioneer area, a 150,000 square kilometer zone in the central Indian Ocean basin, is already allocated for India's exploratory polymetallic nodule mining. The BBNJ treaty's EIA requirements will apply to any mining activities that move toward commercial scale. As an UNCLOS champion, India ratified UNCLOS in 1995 and consistently upholds it, including in the South China Sea context, where India opposes China's non-recognition of the 2016 UNCLOS Arbitral Tribunal ruling. Entering into force of a BBNJ agreement that strengthens UNCLOS-based governance is broadly aligned with India's international legal position. Now, let us turn to the governance architecture under the treaty. Once in force, the BBNJ agreement establishes a framework that operates alongside, not replacing, existing bodies like the IMO, RFMOs, and ISA. Coordination mechanisms were negotiated to avoid conflicting obligations. The 30 by 30 target requires protecting 30% of the planet's land and ocean by 2030. Currently, around 17% of land and 8% of the ocean are protected, with most ocean protection in national EEZs and very little on the high seas. Reaching 30% ocean coverage by 2030 requires accelerated high seas MPA designation under the BBNJ Treaty, strengthening MPAs in national EEZs, integrating fisheries management restrictions within MPA frameworks, and adequate financing, estimated at $140 to $175 billion per year for biodiversity globally. The BBNJ Treaty provides the legal framework, but political will, financing, and enforcement capacity remain the binding constraints. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The BBNJ Agreement is also known as the High Seas Treaty, adopted on March 4 to 5, 2023, and entered into force on January 2026, after 60 ratifications. The four pillars of the agreement are MPAs, EIAs, manager benefit sharing, and capacity building. The 30 by 30 target is part of the coming Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework, adopted at CBD COP15 in December 2022. The ISA, or International Seabed Authority, is headquartered in Kingston, Jamaica, and guns deep-sea mining in international waters. India's pioneer area is a 150,000 square kilometer zone in the central Indian Ocean basin, allocated for India's exploratory polymetallic nodule mining. The Nagoya Protocol, adopted in 2010, provides a template for benefit sharing for terrestrial genetic resources. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For prelims, remember the BBNJ Agreement, also known as the High Seas Treaty, adopted in March 2023 and entered into force in January 2026. With 60 ratifications. The four pillars of the agreement are MPAs, EIAs, manager benefit sharing, and capacity building. The 30 by 30 target is part of the coming Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework. For mains, discuss the significance of the BBNJ agreement for ocean governance and analyze how it addresses the historical gap in international maritime law. Examine India's interests in the BBNJ Agreement, balancing blue economy ambitions with the treaty's EIA and benefit-sharing obligations. In conclusion, the BBNJ Agreement marks a significant milestone in the history of ocean governance, providing a legally binding framework to protect biodiversity in the high seas. As India navigates its role in the blue economy, the agreement's provisions on MPAs, EIAs, manager benefit sharing, and capacity building will have far-reaching implications for the country's strategic position and sustainable development goals.